Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And with us today is Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agencies and John Corby, who is an expert on health insurance from the Nesbitt Agencies.
Scary thought.
Chad, I've been waiting for this one.
I know you have. I told you I was going to bring him, and here he is.
The whole time we've been doing these podcasts, I've been waiting for this discussion of health insurance.
Yeah, don't miss your opportunity. For once, I'm off the hot seat. I'm happy to bring somebody else along.
John's in the hot seat today, and John, what I want to know is what every business owner wants to know. How can we control our insurance costs? This health insurance is driving us crazy.
It's not cheap, that's for sure. Well, you know, there's a lot of options out there, and that's the key, you know, looking at where you are today and making sure you take a look at all the different options available, because there are a lot of potential savings out there if you're willing to take your time, look at the plans, and truly understand what these programs are and that are available, you know. Take a look at them and really tear them apart, because I can give you countless opportunities that I've worked with other past clients where they're getting a 20-25% increase and we'll come in with a 20% decrease instead. So, I mean, there's opportunities out there to be had, but sometimes, you know, people aren't willing to take the time to look at the potential programs or the savings that are available.
You know, what I'd like to know, and I think what most business owners want to know, is what is going on with the healthcare system? It seems like for the last 10 years, we've had double-digit percentage increases in the premium costs. And how can that continue? And how can an employer afford that? There's two sides to this, of course. The business owners that I talk to are paying more for their health insurance than they've ever paid in the last 30 years. And the employee's contribution towards the health insurance is higher than that's ever
been. Keeps going up, too.
It just keeps going up and up and up. Is the system broken? Well, and what do you do as a small business owner to be able to afford the health insurance?
Well, it's not broken, but you have to take a look at where we were and where we are today. I mean, technology is so far advanced, and there's a price to be paid for that. I mean, you know, you look at pharmacy, you know, these pills, $1,000 a pill.
Jeez.
And you need these pills, you know, every week, every month. There's a cost to be had for all this. But, you know, we've got some problems, and nobody has, you know, the perfect answer. But there are things that we can do within the system, because it does work for 85% of the population. You got to remember that, you know, 85% of the population have insurance. Most of them are very happy with what they have. Now, they may not be happy with the cost of the plans. And then when you look at the 15% that we're trying to fix, or that are complaining, you know, half of those people wouldn't want it anyways, even if it was free, because what happens is this, that a lot of them are young, healthy, you know, typically males, that they think they're never going to get hurt, they're supermen, until they slide into second base and break their leg. Then they need the coverage. So what we have to do, and this is where you get into some philosophical differences, you know, between the population. First off, is healthcare a right, you know, or a privilege? And then secondly, you got to look at the technology, because we're getting into things that, for example, things that are costing us, you know, or adding expense to the programs, tort reform. I mean, you know, you look at the doctors that are coming into the system these days. There's no OBs. GPs are falling off. They're going to specialists. And the reason being is because to be an OB, if you have a birth that goes awry, all of a sudden everybody wants to sue somebody. So now all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, an inherent expense. And like for insurance for these doctors, over $100,000 a year. So you start looking at the expenses that you know are being incurred in the system. Things have to change. And also, you know, when they talk about the American system being broken, I challenge that, and I'm not the expert in And when we talk about all the different reasons why, you know, what's causing the expenses to go up inherently. But if you look at the overall American health system, it's the finest in the world. You know, you look at the WHO, the World Health Organization, and you talk about the American system being 37th in the world or what have you, where let's say the Italian system is number 2 in the world. But, you know, when the Italian prime minister gets hurt or sick, guess where they go to get their health insurance? They come here. They go to the Mayo. Why is that? You know, so, I mean, we've got a lot of technology. We've got a lot of great opportunity in our system. But, you know, there's some fundamental questions that need to be answered. We spend 80% of our healthcare dollars in the last 18 months of our life. Think about that. 80% of the total healthcare dollars get spent in the last, you know, year or 2 years of your life. Grandma's 85 years old. We do everything to continue her, you know, their life expectancy for a year or two, but you're spending so much money at that, you know, on that case. And there's an inherent question of what, you know, to what extent do you go to, you know, get that extra year or two of life.
So prior to that, though, we're not just paying for the health care. It sounds like we're paying for a whole lot of else.
Absolutely. I mean, we're paying for Medicare. We're paying for, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things. You know, the government, they, you know, they say they can control costs. Well, their biggest way of controlling costs is reduce the schedule or reduce benefits. You know, I gave you, and this makes for excellent radio, I gave you a little fundamental design of what the government's going to be
trying to do.
It looks
like a Monopoly game board.
You know, it's on a sheet, you know, and there's 100 boxes. And you know, I mean, when just like for Medicare, when I make a phone call to somebody looking for answers on a difficult Medicare question, you can talk to 3 different people and get 3 different answers. They don't even know their own product.
For our listeners, what John's referring to is a chart that he gave us called the Organizational Chart of the House Democrats Health Plan. And it does look like a complicated Monopoly board, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can't understand it. But, you know, the system is what the system is. And as an individual and as an individual business owner, there's, you know, we can elect politicians, we can call our politicians, we can try to affect the system. But let's get focused.
Mm-hmm.
For a business owner, his largest expense usually is his payroll. His second largest expense is his rent. And health care insurance used to be just another item. Today it's number 3 if it's not number 2. It's very expensive. So let's get down to the details. What can a business owner do when he comes to you and he says, my health insurance cost is too expensive? How can you help me, John?
Well, let's take a look at what they've got currently. A lot of companies, they'll have a $15 copay and maybe a $300 deductible plan. That's what we're kind of accustomed to, you know, for the employee. So they'll have an out-of-pocket. But they'll, you know, primarily it's you go to the doctor, you get the sniffles, you bring the kids in, you pay your $15 copay, and that's it, right? So there's no other expense. Well, we all know that there's additional expenses behind that. But what happens is nobody's thinking about, you know, whether do I need to really bring my child in. Now, if the child is screaming and ill, great. But, you know, if you got a virus, what are you going to do? You know, your doctor says, you know, drink plenty of fluids, take some medication, and get plenty of rest. So,
take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning.
Absolutely. And so what we do is what we want to do is become better consumers. For example, I know of a case where somebody, a daughter got hurt, needed an MRI. Well, let's say the MRI was $2,300, but all of a sudden you start calling around to different locations, and all of a sudden, well, we'll do it for $1,500. Well, what if I pay cash for that? Well, there's a 20% discount for that. So all of a sudden that $2,300 MRI becomes $1,100. And so you have to start asking questions. You have to start talking to your doctors. And you start talking about, okay, you know, they're going to give you a prescription. Well, is it a name brand or is there a generic equivalent? I can use myself, for example. I used to have a heart condition. And I went to my pharmacist and, you know, I'm usually paying my $25 copay or what have you. Well, all of a sudden they gave me a bill for $197. I'm saying, excuse me, this can't be correct. And they're going, oh, sorry, we forgot. You've got your copay. You only owe, you know, $20 or whatever. Well, what happened is I said, now, let me ask you a question. That $197, what is that? And they said, well, that's the actual cost of the medication for 30 days. I said, now, what about a generic equivalent? Is there a generic equivalent available? And they said, oh, absolutely. And I said, well, how much is that? Oh, $6. So, and what I'm getting to is we have to put more emphasis on you know, consumerism. Now, what happens is this leads to what ultimately the new programs out, and they've been around for a while, like health savings accounts or health reimbursement arrangements, and we can talk about the differences there. But the health savings account, and basically what it does is, as I mentioned before, you might have that $15 copay, $300 deductible plan. What we do on a health savings account is increase the deductible to, say, maybe $1,500 or $2,000. So immediately, all of a sudden, the insurance cost is reduced significantly. Mm-hmm. Now, the employee might say, well, this isn't a good deal. I had a $300 deductible. Now I have a $1,500 deductible. How is this good for me? Well, what we do is, first off, that employee typically is paying maybe 50% of the premium that for that particular insurance. So now their premium has been reduced significantly. Also, the employer's liability is reduced significantly because they're paying at a higher, you know, a higher deductible, so much lower premium. Well, what we do then is the employer then kicks into a health savings account, a separate account. It's like a 401k for healthcare. They put in $1,000 into that health savings account. So now all of a sudden they've reduced that $1,500 deductible to $500, and that $1,000 sits there, and the employees can use it when they need it. So if you go to the doctor. And typically, when you look at a health savings account, there's multiple plans, so I don't want to get into the differences. But what happens is the employee is going to actually see the true cost of what that maybe exam or that particular charge is. So they're going to have a little bit more skin in the game, so to speak. And what they're going to do is they're going to either use the HSA, the health savings account, to pay for those dollars. And maybe what they do is they start realizing maybe they should, you know, there is a generic, especially you talk about, you know, the pharmacy, you can actually start asking questions about, well, is there a generic equivalent? Because they're going to pay the $197 or they're going to pay the $7. Which one do you think they'll choose?
Hey, John, let's talk about that consumerism. Now, you've got to, for today's purposes, let's just assume our business owner has a manufacturing business and he's got 50 employees, mm-hmm. and the health insurance costs are getting out of whack. So they come to you and say, how can I get this under control? And you start talking to him about consumerism. And he's going to talk back and he's going to say, how in the world am I going to get my employees to understand what you're talking about, and how am I going to get them to do it?
Well,
can you tell me that?
It's a great question. A lot of it comes down to education, where we sit in front of the clients and the employees, and we start talking about this. And like, for example, I'll give you, for instance, I sat down in front of a young lady, you know, 23 years old, and we're talking about, you know, how she goes about making her healthcare choices. I said, you know, do you have a doctor? And she goes, no, I don't. I said, so where do you go when you are ill? She goes, oh, I just go to the emergency room. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, so let's talk about that fee. Because when you go to the emergency room, it can be 3 to 5 times more expensive than going to either urgent care or your GP. So maybe the difference is $800 versus $150. And we start talking to her about it. I said, you need to choose a doctor, because let's face it, you know, would you rather pay $800 or $150? These are the type of questions. And, you know, the reality is they start seeing what they're spending, because it's their money. The HSA is their money. If they leave that employer, they walk out with that money.
If there's anything left of it.
If there's anything left. But you have to realize 80% of the population, you know, doesn't use a lot of their health care dollars. You know, somebody breaks an arm or a leg or somebody gets hurt. But for the most part, you're talking that 80-20. 20% of your population uses 80% of your health care dollars.
So it can continue to accumulate over time?
There's no cap. There's a yearly cap of what you can contribute. So mm-hmm. what typically happens is we have the employer kick in money. And then the employees, because they're getting a reduction in their costs, they'll pre-tax it. They'll let's say they're spending $50 a month out of their own pocket for their part of the premium. We run that through pre-tax, so it may only be $35 out of their paycheck, and we put that into the health savings account. Mm-hmm. That grows. I've got mm-hmm. you know, a number of employees who have $5,000-$10,000 in their HSA, and because as we get older, we're going to incur greater costs. So it's like I said, it's a 401k for your healthcare expenses.
All right, let's get to this business owner with 50 employees now.
All right.
He comes to you and his insurance costs are out of just terrible. Do you take a look at his claims experience? Do you take a look at the group? Do you, and when you show him his options, mm-hmm. do you then come out and put on some classes and teach the employees how to help control those costs going forward?
Exactly. And Tom, this really differentiates like ourselves from some of our competition because it is time consuming. You got to do education. You got to have the right administrators in there administering the HSAs or the HRAs to make sure that people understand what they have, you know, in their hands. And one of the key features is when I first sit down with an employer, typically, you know, they come to me and say, John, these rates are just outrageous.
They're not happy, are they?
No, not at all. And that's why they're asking questions. So then what I need to do is take a look at what their experience is, where they're incurring the costs, and start, you know, looking at ways to save money, reduce costs. Now, sometimes, you know, like in small group companies under 50 employees, there's pools, and all the carriers are typically the same. They offer hundreds of plan options, but there's tiers to what they're going to charge you and your employees. And those tiers might start at 1 or 0.75 up to 1.25. There may be 16 tiers in there. And then each tier, the higher you go, the more expensive the rates are for the same plan design. But if you have good experience, you should be in a lower tier. So we start looking at those type of options and seeing if their increases are justifiable. Or perhaps they had a bad claims experience, but that person is off the plan now. So what we can do is go back to the carrier and say, yeah, we understand you took a loss last year, but now what we're doing is going forward, we've got a healthier group, so we should reduce the tier and save some money.
Chad, you've been pretty quiet. We talked in one of our prior podcasts about the difference between a captive insurance agency and an independent insurance agency. And in your case, I would guess you can write health insurance with just about every carrier there is. Is that correct?
Well, John's going to speak on that. And what I'd like to point out is one of the things that we talked about with our agency is that when you come to us, you're going to get an expert just in that field. We're not going to have each division of the Nesbitt agencies handles just that area. So myself, I do the property casualty. So we talked about in these other podcasts, we've talked about disaster planning, the business income, things like that. When you come to us, we're going to be talking about that. When you come and you want a health issue, I'm not going to pretend to be the health expert. I'm going to bring in John, and he's going to be the person that has seen these things 1,000 times over and has worked with other people's plans. And one of the things that we talked about on the car ride over here was, what I wanted him to point out was some of these people are dealing directly with the carriers, and they don't have anybody speaking on their behalf. It happens quite a bit. So there's no advocacy on their end. So John will step in these plans and does a very good job of saying, okay, look, you're just taking what they're, you know, you're making this assumption that there's a cost savings by dealing direct. Well, that might actually be costing you more. And some of these circumstances that he had talked about earlier where they were seeing these 25% increases came to him. He picked apart the plan, load out some options, and it ended up being a 20% decrease. That was because he picked apart their plan and said, okay, look, here's what you're really dealing with.
So you really sit down and you tailor the plan to try to set the deductibles and set the different types of plans to get the maximum savings and get the cost of that insurance down as low as you can, and then you come in and then you go out and you shop it to all the available insurance carriers.
Correct. I mean, there's a number of insurance companies out there, and you know they all do a good job. I mean, the question is, are they in the best program for where they're at? I mean, you know, because let's face it, there may be other options that another carrier is offering that they're not even aware of. So we want to make sure that, you know, they're aware of what is available to them. That's my key, is to lay everything out to them so that they understand what all their options are. You know, we talk about there's fully insured products versus self-funding. Self-funding is where the employer is going to be paying the claims as they go, and some people think it's a great way to save money because if they think that the health care is making too much money, perhaps on the administration side or what have you, they say, well, I'll just pay the claims myself and they can just adjudicate the claims and charge me a fee. But, you know, you have to look at your liability too. I know of cases where you got employers of 30 lives that are self-funding and they don't realize that the liability down the road may be just horrendous and they could bankrupt them. I know of cases where companies have gone under because they are not in the right place at the right time.
John, isn't it true that the different carriers have different contracts with the doctors in terms of how much they'll pay for certain procedures and so forth?
There's fee schedules all over the, you know, it's every carrier negotiates with the different providers, and there's different size networks. So each carrier offers smaller networks where there's greater savings. There might be a 15-25% reduction in those fees. So then they can offer a lower priced program to the employer. So what we do is, in many cases, we might offer a dual option plan to an employer where you'll have two options or perhaps three options, where you can have a large network and what I consider the Cadillac plan, or a smaller network, you know, the Chevy. And what happens is, if you want the Cadillac as an employee, you're going to pay for it. But, you know, that you get the full access or network versus maybe a smaller network, but there's lower fees and it's a lower premium.
Well, that would make an interesting benefit, availability to the types of employees you want to keep, mm-hmm. who have been there a long time or who have been senior management. Do you see many of those where you have the different options, almost like a cafeteria plan?
Right. Well, most of my clients now, many of them, have dual options. We might have plan A that may, let's say it's a $300 deductible plan. They want to keep that richer plan, but maybe plan B has a $2,000 deductible plan. And the reason we have two plans is maybe they've got a very young, healthy male group, mm-hmm. you know, and they never go to the doctor, they never use the plan, and all they care about is the lowest premium possible. Now, they're taking more risk, but they don't care. So what you're doing is you give more multiple options to employees. And if you give options to employees, typically they're going to be much happier or satisfied because they have an opportunity to make a choice versus just saying, here it is, take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's a lot of opportunities out there to save money. And you bring up like a flex plan or a 125 program where the HSAs, the health savings accounts, come into play. They fall under the same rules and regs as the flex plan, but it's not a use it or lose it. See, so as they're growing that HSA portfolio, unlike a flex plan where you put, say you put $500 in for whatever, you know, whatever you're going to pay for pre-tax, if you don't use it that year,
yeah, and it's gone.
Right. Where the health savings account, you're building that program up, it's growing, it's earning interest, there's flexibility in there, and it really saves a lot of money, and it gives you more flexibility because you can use that money to pay for thousands of items that you wouldn't be able to pay for, let's say, through another program.
John, what kind of options are available for smaller employers, or maybe they've got 8 or 10 or 12 people covered?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way for them to join a group, or any way they can find some savings?
Well, all the carriers do a wonderful job at offering, you know, multiple opportunities. There's every carrier offers hundreds of programs out there, different plan designs, and I think they all do a very good job of giving you selections. A lot of it boils down to, you know, price, you know, and the liability and the type of programs that you want to implement. And because the employers know their employees best, so they're going to understand where they feel, you know, their employees' needs are going to be, have to be met. So it really boils down to each location. But I'll tell you what, there's so many opportunities out there, and it boils down to, you know, selection, liability. You know, you're talking about opportunities here, and like in an HRA arrangement, a health reimbursement arrangement, those dollars work similar to an HSA, but they stay in the health plan alone. They can't, and they don't walk out the door when the employee leaves.
See, I wouldn't want to go to a carrier myself with all of this that you're talking about. I'd be like, okay, what am I leaving on the table, especially in this kind of a...
Well, carrier A is never going to tell you what the new deal
right.
carrier B is offering. So, I mean, the beauty of it is we are just, what I always tell people, we are an extension of your office, your HR department or what have you. We're working on your behalf. I mean, if you're not happy, obviously you're going to go somewhere else. But what we can do is at least show you what is available out in the marketplace.
You have the knowledge that we're not going to acquire.
Exactly.
John, for what I'm hearing you saying is if you've got a large group of employees and they're mostly young, you're probably going to have a pretty good claims experience and you can hold your premiums down. But for the smaller, say, service-based companies where they're smaller and they're older,
mm-hmm.
Well, what can you do for them? Is there any way to save some money?
There's a lot of us out there.
yes, I am.
Well, there's definite ways to save money, and a lot of it comes down to these programs that we were talking about, like an HSA or an HRA. You can definitely look at saving money. Now, one of the things that we do is talk about where your claims experience, and also, are you, you know, how healthy is your group? You know, when you talk about health of a group, there's new programs out there, biometric programs, that where what we can do is, you know, smoking cessation programs. We talk about weight loss. We talk about glucose. What we do is we can analyze your employees by person, and maybe what we do is try to catch that one walking time bomb that could have a heart attack down the road. Some people don't even know they may be a diabetic. So what we do is we can put on programs, health screenings, and, you know, help your population get more healthy so that ultimately they're going to save money, be healthier, reduce your claims, have lower premiums.
So, Chad, this really ties in when we were talking about the other types of insurance. You were talking about loss prevention programs when you bring in some experts and you help control that. And on the health insurance side, you bring in some experts and you help the employer educate the employees so that they take better care of themselves, they shop for their services better, and in the long run, that's going to save everybody some money, isn't it?
Absolutely. You have to, first off, the only way to reduce claims is to get people healthier. And, you know, it does take time. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes, you know, that new change of mentality that we as sometimes population, I mean, we all know we got to, you know, eat better. We need to get more sleep. We need to do the right things. And it's baby
steps.
We're
all shaking our heads going, well, and how?
Yeah.
It's exercise, eat better, get more sleep.
Stop smoking. You know, do all the right things. And it's a difficult challenge. But if you catch that one or two, just there alone, I mean, you know, I see claims that come across my desk, $600,000-$700,000 for a claim. So, you know, if you can stop that $100,000 or $200,000 claim from occurring, all of a sudden as a small employer, if you got 10 employees, you know, you've saved a tremendous amount of money and you've reduced your claim, your loss ratios.
John, we're just about running out of time. Any final recommendations for business owners on health insurance?
Well, definitely, you know, you talk about reviewing your plans, communication, making sure you're working with somebody that, you know, understands, you know, what is available out there. We're not just delivery of bad news. You got to analyze and really start communicating with your employers and employees and take advantage of the programs out there because there are savings.
Sam, one thing I think I've learned in these podcasts with Chad and the Nesbitt agencies is that you can't just buy your insurance and then never talk to your insurance agent again. You got to make them work, don't you?
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of ways they can help business owners save money and watch out for liability exposures that they might not know about. So the theme here is make that agent work. Make him do his business and make him a partner in your business so that he can help you save some money.
Well, actually, it sounds more like let them.
Some of them do, and some don't.
We've always had is be proactive. You know, don't hold this stuff to yourself. You know, you gotta let us know what the goal is. And I thank John for coming along today because health is a huge issue, and people think that they really don't. They hear about options, but they don't know what they are. And you have to let people know as a business owner what your goals are. There's loss control for the property casualty side, and there's loss control like you talked about before on the health side. There's things you can do.
So
you don't have to just take it.
For our listeners, make your insurance agent a part of your team and let them know what you're trying to accomplish and give them the opportunity to help you with that.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Well, thanks, guys. This has been a very interesting discussion today. I'm Tom Lyons, and from my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt family of insurance agencies and his associate, John Corby, for enlightening us on health insurance costs on this segment of Today's Business Radio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.